I think that if I mention the name Andy Hall, most of you would recognize that he's a member of the infamous String Dusters. Dobro player, tremendous musician. Andy recently recorded a new side project, if you will, with Roosevelt Collier, who comes from the style of playing known as Sacred Steel. The name of the album is Let the Steel Play. It's on CD Baby and iTunes. We're going to talk to Andy in the second hour, just as a matter of coincidence. At the same time, there's a brand new live version of Laws of Gravity, which was released earlier this year, doing very well for the infamous String Dusters. They recorded all the cuts in order live at different programs. So we're going to talk to Andy a little bit about that, but mostly we're going to focus on his meeting and this collaborative effort with Roosevelt Collier. You're going to see and hear how the two worlds combine, bluegrass and Sacred Steel. Andy's going to tell you a little bit about that. There are Sacred Steel tunes on this album. There are tunes that just made up and wrote for this project in particular. I think you're going to like it a lot. Andy Hall is going to talk about his brand new release with Roosevelt Collier, Let the Steel Play. It's a combination of bluegrass and Sacred Steel music. You're going to want to hear this. I'm really happy to welcome Andy Hall to Unreal Bluegrass. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
I'm really happy that you had the time to do this. A couple of things. Andy, we're going to talk in detail about a brand new album that you put out with Roosevelt Collier, and the name of it is Let the Steel Play. And I want to take some time to talk a little bit about, I get that Roosevelt is from this Sacred Steel sound. I know it's connected to churches. And I want to get into that. I want you to give this audience, open a door for this audience that aren't familiar with Sacred Steel playing. We'll do that. We'll talk about the album. And then let me do this first. Congratulations to the String Dusters on Laws of Gravity. I think it might be, I followed you guys from the beginning, not to say any other album isn't top-notch. I think this is the best thing you guys have ever done.
Well, thanks a lot. The hope is that it, you continue to make better and better music. I was always amazed with bands who would come out and their first record was sort of like their best one.
Yeah.
They had their sound fully developed when they first started. I don't know how bands do that. For us, it's a continuing refining and development process. So the hope is that they improve over time. And I'm glad, it's gotten good response. So that's great.
And I think I'm in line to get it. There's a live version coming out.
Yeah, we got a live version coming out tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Friday the
23rd.
Oh, 23rd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, Laws of Gravity Live out, and it's pretty cool. We record all our shows, in pretty high quality, so... But this is, it's sort of the creme de la creme, we think, of the performances of the songs on the record, in order. And so you can sort of hear the evolution from studio to the live performance,
I'm in line to get it as soon as it becomes available. I already put my money on the table, and as soon as it says, okay, you can get it, I'll get it. Now, let's talk about Let the Steel Play, which I believe... Andy, you're releasing this yourself, and we'll talk about how to get it. But Let the Steel Play is an album that you've done with Roosevelt Collier. Am I saying his last name correctly?
You are. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Roosevelt Collier, you come from bluegrass and all sorts of other influences, and I don't mean to limit the bluegrass. I know you played a lot of side projects, and you play in a lot of different interests. Roosevelt Collier comes from Sacred Steel, and I want you to give the listeners a little bit of a glimpse into what Sacred Steel is, as best you can define it.
Sure, I'll give it a try. To be honest with you, Steve, it was a new thing for me in the last few years upon meeting Roosevelt. I can't claim to be an expert.
Well,
but, but just what I've learned is amazing. So, yeah, Sacred Steel is it's like a style of lap steel playing that came out of a very specific church, the Church of God. And in this particular church, the lap steel is really the focus of the service, the church service. So, the majority of what goes on in the service is people playing lap steel and sort of using that as sort of a vehicle to feel the Holy Spirit and to be inspired So it was a kind of an underground. I mean, it wasn't something that had been that was very mainstream. In fact, the headquarters of this church is in Nashville, Tennessee, where I lived for 11 years and had no idea. You know,
that's
so
just it.
I'm a dobro player. You'd think I would have heard of this, but meeting Roosevelt, I guess it's been about 4 years ago now. You know, really turned me on to this sound, and it's just a soaring, singing type of lap steel sound that is just, you know, it fits perfect in gospel music. It sounds almost like gospel singing.
It does. You know? It does, and there's definitely a spiritual feel to every note that they play.
Yeah, it's just all about the feel. It's all about evoking an emotion, and so, you know, to run into Roosevelt and to hear that. But yeah, the idea is that, you know, I think this style of music pretty much stayed in the church until, you know, fairly recently, the last maybe 20 years or something. And with, yeah, with the Campbell brothers, and then with Robert Randolph came out of the tradition, and Aubrey Gent and some others. And if anyone's interested, there's actually a great YouTube channel called Sacred Steel TV.
Oh, good.
And you can get a really cool sense of what this is all about by watching some of their videos. And, yeah, the Sacred Steel TV is something that, you know, you can check out and sort of, yeah, get a sense of this. But, you know, it's such a different style of playing than I was used to. And when I met Roosevelt, it was so exciting for me because I felt like I'd heard it all kind of when it comes to slide guitar.
Right.
I really thought that I didn't, you know, and it's kind of a sad place to be when you feel like, well, I feel like I've kind of heard it all on this type of instrument, and so now I just have to break trail and make up, you know, all my own stuff. But when I ran into Roosevelt and heard this stuff, I thought, oh my gosh, I was sort of re-inspired and really kind of been trying to take as much of that influence as I can. So it's been fun. It's a real discovery process for me.
Well, we're glad that you did. Now, one more item, then we'll get right to this album. It seems to me of the Sacred Steel, and they're usually family bands, or at least have that name, or they seem to be connected. There might be 3, 4, 5 players. They're all playing solid body versions of what the audience might think of as a lap steel or just a steel guitar. And they're all electric. And you, throughout this album, I think, in my review of it, Roosevelt continues that. He's playing solid body instruments. We'll talk about the tonal qualities there. And you're playing, you may be electrified or amplified, but you're still playing what the audience would think is just a hollow body acoustic dobro. Is that right throughout the entire album? That doesn't change.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I mean, you know, that I'm playing essentially acoustic and Roosevelt's playing electric. Although Roosevelt did play some acoustic dobro as well. There's a few songs where we both play dobro. And, you know, I brought a bunch of instruments into the studio. I brought a Weisenborn, which is a very specific type of sort of Hawaiian lap guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I brought a National, which is an all-metal body guitar I have from 1929. So we kind of got to play. We brought in a lot of different slide guitars to sort of play. But the general vibe is I'm on acoustic, sort of representing the bluegrass element of things, and Roosevelt's on electric, so representing, you know, the Sacred Steel end of things, and we kind of meet in the middle, and kind of, you know, this album is all about.
It is a meeting, and you keep saying slide. I want the audience to understand that the Sacred Steel, you're probably pretty much going to see, if you see one of these bands, they're going to be playing slide on some version of a lap steel or steel guitar. They always use a slide.
Yeah, that's it. That's the deal, and that's what. And when you're playing slide, it can really get a vocal quality with a lot of sustain and a very soaring kind of sound that you just don't really get any other way. So I really encourage people to sort of look into it a little bit and get inspired, because it's really a fun sound, and with this record, like I say, it's, you know, I'm hoping that people can learn about this stuff, you know, learn about, you they may even not know a lot about bluegrass dobro, but they can, you know, sort of get familiar with that, or if they are, they can learn about the sacred steel, or maybe they, you know, vice versa. So it's just kind of bringing these different worlds of slide guitar together into this sort of into this record, and yeah, so it's, you know, the record not only sounds cool, but has sort of an interesting concept and a cool story.
Well, tell me that story. I have ten cuts on the album. Let the Steel Play. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, Roosevelt and I, we became fast friends when we first met. We met on Jam Cruise, you know, it's basically a festival on a cruise ship. And just kept in touch. You know, when you meet, slide guitar is such a unique niche thing that when you meet someone else who does it, you, a lot of times you become kind of fast friends, you know. And so we just kept in touch, and he was coming through my town where I live in Denver. I just booked some studio time. We didn't have any plan or anything set out that we were going to play. We just went into the studio and basically started showing each other tunes from our sort of backgrounds. You know, I showed him, you know, a song like A Maiden's Prayer, which is the second song on the record. Mm-hmm. He'd never heard that, but that's sort of like a bluegrass kind of classic ballad.
I think so.
And then he would show me, you know, he was showing me things like Power in the Blood, you know, this gospel song that I had never heard. So we kind of showed each other some of these sort of staple songs in our own genre. And then we also wrote about half the songs on the record together, just in the studio, just sitting down kind of, you know, and one of us would come up with a riff, and then someone else would come up with the next riff, and we'd kind of just piece it all together. So about half the songs are original that we just wrote together in the studio, and the other half are songs that come from, you know, our different sort of lineages.
I will tell you this, Andy, and we're talking to Andy Hall, if you're just tuning in, about his brand-new album with Roosevelt Collier. Andy is a prime moving force with the infamous String Dusters, dobro player, and he's done an album with Roosevelt Collier called Let the Steel Play, and we're getting into that a little bit with Andy right now. The concept, as you said, you met and you got together. How many of these songs are, like, I know for, I'll tell you this, beginning of this show, an hour before this interview will be aired, I will have already played the top of the show, Reuben's Train, because I think everybody in the bluegrass world kind of knows a version of that. It's not what you would expect, but Reuben's Train, I think, is certainly one of those tunes that you that must have come from your input.
Yeah, for sure. It did. But the cool thing about it is, you know, sitting down with Roosevelt, it immediately took on a different flavor. You know, it doesn't sound like, you know, Earl Scruggs' version. It sounds, it's almost like a jazz version,
yeah,
in a way. And so that's what I love is, like, it was so fun to show Roosevelt a tune he'd never heard, had no context for, and just see how he interpreted it, you know, just with the basic melody, pretty much.
There is.
And
go ahead.
I love that. I love that idea of, like, taking a song that to me is so established with a certain sound, giving it to Roosevelt, who has no context for it, and seeing what that does and what comes out of it. That's such a fun process.
It's so we know then that A Maiden's Prayer, we know Reuben's Train. There are a couple other, Power in the Blood. I'm thinking of the tunes that existed before you all got together and wrote things.
This Little Light of Mine.
Yeah, sure.
You know, everyone knows that. And then we did one Grateful Dead cover song called Crazy Fingers. That, you know, funny enough, you know, Roosevelt and I come from very different lineages, but Grateful Dead music these days just sort of permeates almost all styles of music. It seems like so many bands cover at least one of those songs here or there. And I had been playing with Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead, and this was a song that just the melody really, I thought, was just gorgeous. It's a fairly complicated song, but it doesn't sound it, you know. It just sounds beautiful. And so that was sort of the last kind of cover song, you know, pre-existing song we did was Crazy Fingers by the Grateful Dead. And then the rest were originals that we made up.
And these were songs, as you're saying, you're sitting there in the experience and you're trading. I think this is fascinating to me, Andy, and you've already expressed this, but you're sitting with someone, your worlds have not really, there's not really been a much of an intersection of your world. You didn't know of the music. He pretty much knows Sacred Steel, doesn't know Reuben's Train, probably the Grateful Dead. I bet you he wasn't really experienced with. So you're trading these sounds, so they're new to both of you, and then you come up with songs or tunes. There are no lyrics, by the way, although I will tell the listener, Andy, I think you'll agree, some of the tonal qualities, as you've already mentioned in reference to, of the Sacred Steel, sounds like words. I mean, they're playing words as much as they can without singing. But so if you take all that together and you come up with new tunes, and that to me is something that I cannot comprehend. I want you to talk a little bit about the tunes that came from this, kind of organically came out of this meeting, and talk about what they are on this album, and maybe a little bit about how they arose. Not in detail, but get into that a little
sure.
bit.
Sure. Yeah, well, that process, you know, it's a little daunting, you know, especially Roosevelt and I mean, certainly had spent some time together, but we hadn't really collaborated a lot musically. And so when you have to just make up some music, it's like you have no idea what's going to happen or how it's going to go. And whoever, whatever musician you get together with has a different process that they write music in, you know. And so you just have to – but the great thing about Roosevelt is he when he plays, he – a lot of times he'll front his own band, and it'll be brand-new musicians who he's just met that day, and he has to put on a whole show. So he's really good at kind of coming up with a riff and then vamping on it and letting things develop. And with me, you know, I've had years of sort of arranging music with the infamous String Dusters, and so I have a good just innate sense of, you know, when things need to break down, when you need to repeat a part, whatever. And so we had this sort of pool of talents that made it really fairly easy to just flow through these songs and come up with different parts and make it so that it sounds really natural and flows. And, you know, I'd say most of the songs we wrote have none of them are really bluegrass.
No.
They're all they almost all take on a slight bit more maybe of the Sacred Steel sound, but you know, they're like funky bluesy.
I was just going to say funky but through that gospel perspective, but I was going to say there's a groovy sound in a blues, but it still is that sacred kind of gospel feel. But that's exactly where I was hoping you would go.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that we tried, that I know I was trying to guide us towards, was not having it be just tons of soloing, but it'd be songs, instrumental songs, but, you know, a lot of melodies, just things that people could just sort of enjoy listening to. You know, the idea wasn't to, like, show off necessarily all our hot licks, although there is some of that. You know, the idea was to make, like, music that would be just pleasurable and enjoyable to listen to. You could put it in your car or just turn it on and have it just going and not feel like, you know, and it just flows. And there's things that you can remember about the songs, things that you can hum. You know, that was sort of a big thing for me, is I wanted it to be not just soloing, but the songs. And I think we did a pretty good job of accomplishing that.
But, and you did. And the melodies do stay with you. And as we've referenced before, there's this non-vocal lyric that comes through, which I think is the melody that's really being picked up. You can do these projects and really have a great time, I say you. Like, I know, I don't know anything about this, but someone at your level or Roosevelt, you could get in these things and get very, very self-indulgent. You could have a blast, but your audience isn't going to get what you're feeling inside. So I think what you're saying is you had a great time doing this, but you also were cognizant of the fact that you're trying to make music here, which assumes there's going to be a listener out there at some point.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, although, you know, as time goes on, me being, you know, I think in the past when you're young and you're just getting started, being self-indulgent, I think, means playing a lot of hot licks and solos.
Exactly.
I think as you get older and a little more mature, I want to make something that I would want to listen to, and that means song-oriented things, you know, and melodies that stick with you. And so, but yeah, I mean, this was totally just a project of for fun. I mean, there was no financial reason, certainly, you know, we're not going on tour. This was just purely an inspiration that we were both feeling, and we wanted to put it down and collaborate. And so that was just so fun for me, is just to have a project where I don't care if it sells. I don't care. I mean, I certainly made it with the intent that I wanted people to enjoy it, but mostly it was mostly just for us,
yeah.
You know, and I think, strangely enough, that makes it more enjoyable for people to hear. You know, I think when you do something that's not disingenuous, but with a certain motive. Sometimes you can lose some of the art in there, and this is all this is just the artistic element of it. You know, so
do you? I was going to ask you, and you've already answered this. Do you think? Of course, you're not going to tour together, but do you think that your roads will pass? You know, somewhere the Dusters are going somewhere here, or will it have to be so Nashville-based because maybe that's where Roosevelt is? Do you think you'll ever, it could happen, that your dates line up and there you are and you have a venue, I guess, but it'd be hard to predict.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to, and I think this is just the first building block and hopefully a relationship with me and Roosevelt that continues. And when the Dusters have a little time off, you know, I hope that we can, you know, do some shows. You know, Stringdusters have been so busy I can't possibly imagine booking more shows right now.
Andy, why I appreciate so much your time. When I saw this become available, I thought, man, I got to catch somebody for 15 minutes or so, and because I love it, and it'll get airplay on Unreal Bluegrass because I'm able to do that, and I want to bring the audience along, so you're helping me, and the Dusters have always done that too. Each new step that the Dusters takes, in my opinion, helps bring the audience, I'm not saying forward, but in the different directions, because I don't think there's a backward to it. You understand what I'm saying? It's just it's good music, and we're all learning more and more and being experienced more. So I was so thrilled that you were able to do this, and I don't want to abuse your time, and we're about to wrap it up, but I'm so glad. I know the Dusters are so busy because Laws of Gravity is such a great album, and you're a great band, but I know you guys are busy. I see where you are all the time. You're like, you probably can't even imagine where you're going to be the next day because your tour schedule is that solid.
It's pretty solid, but, you know, it was really important for me to get this Let the Steel Play album out there, and I'm just so happy. You know, it's gotten a good response so far, and as I say, it's just something that really re-inspired me, and I think re-inspired Roosevelt, and so we can take that with us, you know, into our respective other projects and bands, and it's a good lesson. It's just, I think for me as an artist and musician, I need to do that about every 5 years. Just do something that's just purely for the art of it, and really slide guitar focused, because that's truly my love. That's what I love to do, and it's just so fun for me to get into the slide guitar and do something that has that as a focus, you know. And so yeah, that's what this was all about, and I hope people enjoy it.
Well, listen, again, thanks for your time talking to Andy Hall. Andy, as we close out, I told you at the top of the show I'm going to play Reuben's Train. I want you to pick, as I say goodbye to Andy Hall and Unreal Bluegrass, what tune am I going to play as we end this conversation?
Well, let's hear Reuben's Train. It's a classic bluegrass song that we did our own way, and I hope everybody digs it.
We can do that. Thanks, Andy Hall. Man, thank you so much. I know you're so busy, and I enjoyed the fact that you did this thing with Roosevelt Collier. I'm thrilled to hear in your voice the fun that it's brought back to you. Not that you weren't having fun, but you have this new thing that will inform your playing in the future. I think Roosevelt Collier will share that same experience, and then all the music grows, and we all get to learn more and have more fun. I just think it's a great, great concept.
Yeah, great way to put it, Steve. I really appreciate your time as well.
All right, man. Listen, I'll see you down the road somewhere.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Andy.